Amen, amen. Man, I am excited. I don't know if you could tell. I was trying to keep it quiet up in the front. You know, I was trying to make sure I wasn't moving too much or anything. But I am excited about this Dreaming with God series. I'm a little bummed out because this is our last week in our Dreaming with God series. Have you felt blessed by this series so far? So I'm excited. Listen, so I'm going to let you know. First service shouted me down. Okay, they were like, come on, amen, let's go. So I'm going to need you. I always start second service. You guys always come with the heat. I feel the energy. I'm going to need you to preach back with me, right? Like, if you talk to me, we might get out here 30 minutes early. But if you don't, I might preach another 2 hours. Come on, glory to God. So I feel like preaching this thing like I feel it. Is that okay? Amen, 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 man. I am excited. Man, you know what I'm not excited about? Running. Hey, listen, I'm going to be real with you, man. I'm not a runner. I played running back in high school and a little bit of college. I didn't even like doing that. I wasn't a fan. And I was reminded about running because my brother, I love him so much, Noah Zelvis, was sending out emails about a new group that's in the church. It's actually an old group that's been going on, but people are jumping on. And he was talking about running. I said, come on, man. I thought y'all loved me, you know what I'm saying? And so he's sending out this email, and we got a running joke between me and Noah. He says, hey, man, you should come out and run. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's it. That's the joke. It is, like, I'm serious, right? Like, I don't like to run. And I think part of the reason why my brother in Christ, man, just is always bringing this up to me is because I'm always talking about when we're around each other, man, I want to lose weight, you know, I want to get back to the days when I was feeling good, the when Janie used to look at me and say, That's a beautiful man, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I want to get back there. I don't want to look like I'm 7 months pregnant anymore, you know what I mean? And so, here's the thing, though. I love everything that Noah is selling. I love what the outcome will be. You know what I hate? The process. I don't want to go through the process because, man, running is painful, isn't it? Like, it doesn't matter how long you've been running. It doesn't matter how good you've gotten. It gets easier, but it never gets easy, right? I'm convinced. A part of the reason Noah keeps speaking to me and trying to drop those seeds in my heart is because we have different perspectives. We got different perspectives, right? My perspective is when I start running, my legs are going to hurt. I don't want to get upside the bed. I don't want to stop eating potato chips. And, right, like when everybody else is running miles, I'll probably run a couple of feet to Dunkin' Donut, right? Like that's my perspective. But Noah's perspective, he has a wider one. He hears my complaints about, man, I want to get healthier. I want to get back in shape. And so what is he saying? What is his perspective? If you go through the process, while you're running, you're going to get a little bit healthier, right? You're going to feel a little better. Even better, you're going to be in community with people that love you in this church, right? And then you'll get to hit your goals. The difference, fundamentally, is our perspective. I have a limited one. He has a wider one. So much of the story of Joseph, if you're reading it, is really about perspective. If you read it, yeah, and you look at Joseph's life, you're probably like, oh my God, this is crazy. How can someone go through so much who really just loved Jesus? But if you're reading it with the eyes of God and all of us who know the story of Joseph, your perspective is going to be wider. You're going to see that God was actually at work orchestrating the pieces to do what? To save many, to save nations, to save his family. If you're reading it and you have a wider perspective, what you'll see is that God is actually the one who's in control, creating and inviting those who are willing to participate in his dream. It's a matter of what? Perspective. It's all a matter of perspective. The problem that we have, what we have when we have limited perspective, is that you will find yourself seeing, doing, and believing the things with a restricted or limited perspective. And we find ourselves in the wrong positions. We find ourselves being outside the will of God because we don't have a wider perspective. All throughout this series, we've been kind of coming back and landing home on this big idea. God's dreams are bigger than us. That's really what I want to unpack for us today. That God's dreams are bigger than us. We're not talking about dreaming with Elijah, or insert your name, or these limited dreams we're talking about. What does it look like for us to dream with God, to dream beyond us, to push the walls of where we are and play our part in God's big dream for us? For Joseph's brothers, we actually enter into the story today in chapter 50 with people who have limited perspective on the dream that God has for them. Joseph's brothers are scared, aren't they? Like, they're scared because they think their brother is going to kill them because they know all the wrong that they've done, right? We've been talking about this all these last couple weeks. Pastor Chad preached a beautiful message about reconciliation and restoration, right? Like they're scared. There's fear in their hearts. Even through all the tears and the reconciliation, even their father coming and praying and putting a blessing on their life, their perspective is limited by fear. Their fear did not allow them to see that God was the one who actually preserved Joseph throughout this journey. Their fear did not allow them to see that it was God's supernatural hand that was moving Joseph along to ascend into the second highest seat of power in the world. Their fear did not allow them to see that if it wasn't for everything that Joseph was going through, that their family would have been swallowed up by famine and they would have died. Their fear did not allow them to see that God actually, through all this process, was actually working even on Joseph's heart to forgive them of their sins. It's all a matter of perspective. See, their limited view was the thing that shaped their vision. And they were not able to see what God had done and what God is doing presently. They were afraid. They were stuck in the past. How often is it when God is giving us a dream, we find ourselves allowing fear to actually limit how we view what God is doing? And honestly, if we had to be honest, we put limits on how we think about God, right? I mean, all of us here have been believers. Most of us here have been believers for a long time. And I don't know about you, but when I go through stuff, sometimes it shapes the way that I think about God. Anybody? Right? Like, I'm being honest, right? Like let's say, somebody gets sick in my family. Like, I might be like, okay, God's going to do this, and then somebody gets sick in our family. Fear comes in, and I'm like, God, can you actually heal? Right? Or somebody loses their job, or something goes on, something terrible, all right? Or we'll do the church thing, all right? I want something from God. I ain't been reading my Bible or praying or any of those things, but I really want something for God. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into a little fast. You know, right? I'll pray for a couple of days. I'll read my Bible. And when it doesn't happen, all of a sudden, I question who God is. We question if he's actually good. We question if he actually loves us. We'll question, some of us, if we had to be honest, don't raise your hands, some of us even question if he's even there, right? Our view is limited. What happens for some of us is that the dream is so limited to us and what's going on with us, we cannot see past ourselves. This is a problem. This is a problem for us here, especially who are in the West. Come on. We talked about this, right? We want things on our timetable when we want it all the time, right? Like, I want it now. I want it with expedience. And if it doesn't happen the way that I want it, then somehow I failed the American dream. Somehow it's not good enough, right? Like, that's, everything is wired to tell, it's all about me, the individual. Well, that's foreign from what we actually see in the Bible, this community which is built with communal principles, that it's about the greater whole, it's about the greater story, it's about playing our part in this big and grand design. We will get lost because our perspective is limited to us. It's limited to us, and we actually won't see that God is at work orchestrating and changing the things. That God is at work actually doing work in your lives. But let's go back and jump back into the scripture Andrew had read. And I want you to take notice, even as we read again, starting at verse 17, as we read again this interaction between Joseph and his brothers. And I want you to see the two different perspectives. One that is thinking selfishly, is he going to hurt us? The other one that is thinking cosmically, God is at work. This is where I play my part. Look at the words. This is what it says. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and he wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. Listen to what Joseph says. But Joseph replied, do not be afraid. Am I God that can punish you? I want to stop right there. I want to stop right there in the message. Do you see Joseph's perspective and his brother's perspective? Right? All they can think about is themselves. And once again, they go to conspiring. Well, if we do this, maybe we can trick him to save us. Have they learned anything till this point? And look at Joseph's perspective. This is who I am. This is who God is. I don't have the right to be able to do that. Right? Like, look at, like, he has a God perspective. He understands what's his role in the situation. He understands God. Man, I love scripture, man. Let me tell you something. If that was me, man, it would be that story would have been different. That man would have came up. They would have said, hey, brother, you know, dad is gone now. I was like, hey, you right, sucker. You know what I'm saying? Hey, God's going to come in here. We chopping heads today. Oh, I remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, right? Like, that's the way we would have handled the situation. Can you imagine as Joseph is going and he interprets a dream and God basically elevates him. I mean, Pharaoh elevates him to being the second most powerful person in the world. I would say, hey, Pharaoh, excuse me. Before we go and get those hail bales and everything so we can save it, I need about 300 of your best soldiers and some chariots. I got to go see my brothers about a conversation. For real. But that's not what Joseph does, is it? It's not. Joseph has the right perspective. It's not limited with pain and grief and all those things. Joseph has the right perspective. How many of us, right, as we see God is moving and creating favor in our lives, our first inclination, our first desire is to go and lord it over people. It's to go and say, you see, I did it. You thought I couldn't do it, but I did it. And what we do in that moment is we take the place of God. And we don't understand that this story is actually bigger than us. How many times do we want to sit in the seat where God seats? We want to be God. Joseph understands fully what is taking place here. As we continue, he says, am I God that I can punish you? He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for what? Good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Well, what a beautiful picture here. Every right to be upset. Every right to feel the weight of trauma that had taken place in their lives. But he says, no. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan that's happening. There's a bigger dream than just my dream. Oh, how Joseph has grown from the time when he was a little boy, when he was like, your bales are going to bow before me, and you and I am going to be Lord over you. To this moment, he was like, oh, man, guys, don't worry about that. I'm not God. He was actually doing something amazing. He was orchestrating all these things. Joseph doesn't hold on to the pain. He doesn't hold on to grief. He doesn't allow the enemy to cloud his perspective with fear, because what he understands is that the dream of God is bigger than him. How beautiful, how powerful is that? If we understood that God's dream is bigger than us, how would we move? How would we interact with one another? How would we love people if we understood that it's not about us? So much of the way we even talk about salvation, it's all about us. It's about me. We don't even understand that salvation, God is working throughout all of his creation to the restoration and the reconciliation of all things. That I don't get to just feel comfortable at the side, but actually the good and beautiful picture of what God has for us is that everything would be one day be restored. So it matters how I love my neighbor. It matters how I think about the other. This is the beauty of the gospel. But we have a limited perspective. You know how crazy God's picture, God's perspective is? How big his dream is? He talks about this in Isaiah chapter 58. I love this this verse here. In Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 through 9, God is talking here, and he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. He says, my ways are beyond anything you can imagine. I can imagine some big things. But guess what? God says, you can't even imagine the way that I am. And then he goes on. He says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, that is the distance and gap between my ways and your ways, and the way that I think and you think. Wow. What? That's crazy. How foolish then is that of us to think, when we go through situation, when we go through trials, somehow God has a limited picture. How foolish is that of us, this God who is infinite and I am finite? I love the story of Job. Man, the story of Job is so amazing, because here you have the story, if you don't know anything about Job, here it is in 30 seconds. Job is this man who is righteous and holy before God. And one day the accuser came to say, hey, God, yes, like Job is a really good guy, but the reason why, you know, he loves you and he worships you and he's righteous is because you've given him everything. God says, okay, if that's what you think, You can go at him, but just don't touch his life. And all of a sudden, in a day, basically Job is stripped of his children who are killed. He's stripped of his servants who are taken. He's stripped of his wealth. He's stripped of his wife, and he's just left there. His friends saying, you should just curse God and die. And in the book of Job, it's such a beautiful picture. Job says, I'm not going to curse God. And he's standing there, and all he wants to do is have a conversation with God. He's like, man, I just want to talk with God. If I can just have a conversation with God and just ask why. And he asks why, and guess what God's answer is? Hey, Job, who told the waters where to end and the land where to begin? who unraveled time and space? I need you to know that I am thinking at a cosmic level while you're just thinking 2 feet in front of you. See, man, God's perspective is so much bigger than us. It's so much beyond us. The Bible says, as far as the heavens are from the earth. Have you been outside lately? Have you seen the ground? You see how high the sky is? as far as the heavens are from the earth. That is the distance in our thinking and God's thinking, and the nerve, the audacity, the gall that we have to think that God does not care, or he does not worry, or he does not love us when we go through hard times. Isn't it beautiful in the New Testament? Isn't it beautiful in the New Testament? Jesus says that if he cares about the sparrow, then he cares about you. This is a different perspective. Is our perspective wider? How often is it that when we are going through things, we get afraid and we go to God and we say, God, I might have missed out. What? God, I might have missed out. How often is it that we come to God afraid that we finally made that one mistake that God says, I'm done with you, Elijah. You are now you're officially, before all those other things, you weren't terrible, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm done with you. We laugh, but we do that. We act like that. We'll go and hide ourselves and cover ourselves and be like, oh my God, like I hope God doesn't strike me with a lightning bolt or something. How often do we come to God afraid that we're too old, too young, too broken? You fill in the blank for God to use. What a small and limited perspective. Joseph's brother's perspective was limited. And because it did not happen on the timetable that they wanted, the way that they wanted it, right? The way that they thought things were going to wrap up. What they thought is that they had to now start orchestrating things. And so they conspired. They lied. And they were like, okay, maybe we can have mercy. See, the question for us today is, are we willing to be a part of a dream that we may never see come to fruition, but will live and impact well beyond us? Well, that's different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What if God has you in a dream, the dream for your life, he's poured something into you, and you will never get to see the fruit of it? But your job was just to till the ground. Your job was just to be a part of this bigger story. Oh, we all love to dream with God. We all want to get the things right away. We all want to be like, okay, God, now I've made it. But what does it look like to live in that part of the dream? Let's go back to scripture, verse 20. This is what it says. You intended it to harm me, but God intended all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many. What? And not just many. He says, no, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. Oh my goodness, I don't do drugs, I do scripture, y'all. That is good. Y'all hear me? That is good. Amen. I mean, that's beautiful. Listen to what is happening right here in the text. God said that my story is so much bigger than you. This is what Joseph understood. It's so much bigger than you that, man, do you know how many people would have died? Like, you think I can be mad at you? It was God. God is the one. Listen, he says, God is the one who positioned me here. God is the one who positioned me here. What if part of the reason why you're going through the things that you're going is because God is positioning you to be a beacon and a light in the midst of darkness so that many can receive the goodness of God. Whoa. Isn't that amazing? What if he's positioning you that you, as you reach people for Jesus, that you change the trajectory of people's lives? That you had whole families that were literally headed to hell and destruction, and now they're headed to glory and in the presence of God for all eternity. This is a God perspective. This is a God dream. But are we obedient? Do we understand that for Joseph, forgiveness and reconciliation was not temporary, but is extended to his brother's children? Understand what he's saying here. He's saying, you think that your generations will end here, But God has blessed us so much that the story, the biggest story that God has for us, will continue to go on. Do you see what Joseph understands here? That God has a bigger dream. Do you know where the dream started? Genesis 3. What? Y'all read scripture? It started in Genesis 3. It started just, check this out, right? What happens? Adam and Eve, they sin, right? And all of a sudden, sin enters into the world, right? Like, this is the dysfunction and the brokenness of like, the world. And so what does God say? I'm going to take care of this. I am going to take care of this. And one day, right, the seed of a woman will crush the head of a serpent. Then he taps Abraham on the shoulder. Abraham, I want you to be a part of taking care of this. I want you to be a part. Abraham messes up. He's got his stuff. He's lying about his wife. He's like, now that's my sister. You know what I'm saying? Please don't kill me. You know what I'm saying? That's wild. You know what I'm saying? Go back and read scripture. Like, that's wild. He's like, you know what I'm saying? Over and over again. He takes Hagar. He tries to jump over the dream that God has for him. But what God still has him in his hand. He says, he taps him in. And then right here, what we see is famine is about to kill the promise. The dream, and what does he do? He taps Joseph. Joseph, I will take you through all of this so that my big, beautiful dream of reconciling all of creation, all of the world, all of the cosmos would actually come to pass. And he saves the family. And if you keep on going, this dream is bigger than Joseph. And we go through the Exodus, right? We go through 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Then we have the Exodus. We go from there to Judges, children of Israel, which are crying, murmuring, and complaining. Give us a king like the people over there. You just had God literally take you out of Egypt through plagues and all this other stuff. Fire by night, pillar of cloud by night. Come on, man. What are we talking about here? This is God. And they're whining. Okay, God gives them a king. Broken kings, right? Like, then from there, you have exile. You have prophets. You have 400 years from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of when Jesus comes. And God's dream is just steadily going. And boom, there he comes. The great restorer himself, Jesus Christ, enters into history. That was a big dream. But it was Joseph's faithfulness and obedience, right? And the understanding of what God was actually doing in this big story. Guess what? That helped in the continuation of that dream. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? What if God is busy developing your character and your gifts so that you will be able to handle the position that he has for you in his big God dream? That sometimes we have to go through all this. Joseph says, God is the one who positioned me. This story is the gospel. It is the beautiful picture of the gospel right here laid out. Look at this. Jesus, like Joseph, is the promised son. He is the dream made flesh, came to dwell among us. Jesus, like Joseph, is the promised Messiah, right? That he came and he led his brothers only to be betrayed and rejected. Come on, somebody. I don't know. You don't got to talk to me. I feel like preaching up here, right? This is the gospel on display. When all hope seemed lost, he provided a way of salvation. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he extended his grace and hope that we believe. And all we have to do is believe in this resurrected Savior who is no longer in the grave. And like Joseph, watch this, like Joseph, who says, his brothers say in the part of the scripture, we are your slaves. Joseph says, no, get up. You're not my slaves. Don't you understand what God is doing? You get to reign with me. Oh, who else does that? Jesus. Jesus says that for all those who believe, they have the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. that we get to rule and reign with Christ in victory because what Christ has done. Jesus is the greater Joseph. He is the picture. Joseph was just the shadow of the picture of what was and is, what was to come. And Jesus fulfills that beautiful picture of what he did on the cross. But we cannot have a limited perspective. God wants us to widen our picture. He wants to widen so that we can see that we are called to play our part in the beautiful dream of God. In the beautiful dream of God. Do you have a widened perspective? Do you have a widened perspective? Are you willing to be a part of a dream that we may never see come to fruition, but we would live and impact well beyond us? Are you willing to see that? Maybe your dream is to get married. You find yourself here, either by divorce or maybe you just never got married. And the world would say, because the world has this ways of talking, and even sometimes in the church, we have this conversation about marriage, honestly, in the church, in a very dysfunctional way. Say like, well, somehow you're incomplete or somehow you're broken because these things happen. No. Just widen your perspective. Maybe God is calling you to be fulfilled by your community here in the church. Maybe God is calling for your cup to be filled with who God is and that you can just constantly drink from that cup. Maybe that is the picture that God wants you to have, a widened perspective. Maybe you wanted to have children. And somehow, you're not able to do that. A widened perspective, God perspective. Maybe God wants to use you to adopt or foster children. Maybe that's where God wants to place you, to help people which have daddy wounds, have never seen their mother wounds, that have never had anybody to love on them, to care for them. Maybe God wants to use you right in that position to give them something that they never had. But that just means changing your perspective. I'm saddened because Dr. Butts was supposed to be over here. He's the principal at Fair Plain Middle School over here. And unfortunately, he came down. He was sick, and so he couldn't make it. But, man, I have loved our conversations and getting to know him and talk with him. And you know what he said? He's been telling me. He's just like, man, we are struggling over at the middle school. We literally do not have enough teachers at the school next door. We don't have enough teachers. Sometimes we have to get whole classes and move them into the gym. And he's like, man, these kids want to learn. They're good. But how can you learn when that is the space that you're in? How can you learn? These kids, which are going through God knows what at home, maybe some of them are dealing with the violence of what's going on in our streets, gunshots, and maybe parents which are working doubles just to get food on the table, and then they come home and they don't even have a consistent teacher. And you hear people from the outside are like, well, you know, these, like that school's not doing good. How can you learn in that environment? Maybe in this moment, God is calling you to say, how can I volunteer? Right now at the school, you can go and sub. They're looking for substitute teachers. Some of you guys, maybe you're tired. Maybe you have a little bit of time on your hands. You can go mentor. Barb was telling me that there's going to be an open booth. Man, how beautiful would it be for us to be a part of changing the trajectory of people's lives there? And I'm not saying it's easy. Maybe you go there and somebody cusses you out. Maybe you go there and you're just like, I'm not feeling it. But man, let me tell you something, saints. When our perspective is limited, we look at those things and we're just like, I give up. But when you have the perspective of God, when you look with the eyes of Jesus, how beautiful will it be when we come to that day? Oh my God, I was trying not to cry this service. How beautiful would it be when we come to that day when we stand before the perfect in all of glory and somebody comes and they tug on your sleeves and they say, I know that you might not remember me, but you gave your time. You gave your time when nobody else cared about us. And you were there, and you were consistent, and you loved on me. And you might not have seen the fruit back there, but you changed the trajectory of my life. You changed the trajectory of my life. I'm here because of your faithfulness, because there was a church that was next door that loved so deeply, so beautifully, so boldly, so fully, that I was changed. A limited perspective says, how can I be comfortable? A God perspective says, how can I partner with God in his big and beautiful dream? That's the difference, saints. That's the difference. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Why do we gather? Why do we sing these songs? If all we want to do is just go about our day. If we don't want to love like Jesus. If we don't want to be a part of his plan. What are we doing here? I don't want to live in a limited perspective. I don't want to live with just a picture on me. I want to live and love like Jesus loved, man. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. How do we do that? I don't know if you saw this. I'm sorry. I don't know if you saw this. In the video, there's in one of our campuses in Water's Edge, there's a guy who's a worship leader, an amazing campus that is loving people in Kiev, Ukraine. And he's going to be flying here on the 20th. Right now in Ukraine, they're literally, as they're having services, there is the real reality that a bomb could drop on their head. Russia is literally, as we're talking, by the time we get out of this, we might find out that Russia has invaded Ukraine. It's a different perspective. They're worshiping God. They're loving our God. What excuse do we have, saints? As we sit in our plushy sheets and we have our nice air conditioning and our lights and our video cameras, what excuses do we have? How are we following God? What is our perspective? God wants to invite us into his dream. But does our picture just limit it to us, or is it bigger than us? I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of God this morning. So this is what I want to do for the remainder, last couple of minutes of us together. We're just going to take a few minutes and just pray. What is the limitations that you have put on your heart that you can go to a God who is limitless? Say, God, would you widen my perspective? What is the thing that's holding you back, that's straining you back, that's keeping you afraid of moving? What is that thing? Should you give that to God this morning? Just give that to God. I want us to pray in this time, these last couple of minutes of praying. I want us to pray for what is happening over there. Do you know that a survey was done in 2018? 71.7% of the people of Ukraine consider themselves believers in Jesus Christ. Those are brothers and sisters in the Lord that we will celebrate in all eternity. Let's pray for them. Right here across the street from us, there are principals and teachers that are burning out. They're just crying for a little bit of help. Let's pray for them. Let's volunteer. Let's be a part of what God can do. Let's not just look at the problem and keep walking by. Let's pray. Yes, Father Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, God. So beautiful about you, Jesus, as you say that, Father God, when we are faithless, you are faithful. You say, Father God, in your word, Father, where we are weak, you are strong. So in our limitation, Father God, I pray that we would figure out that we are limited, you are limitless, that we should decrease, you should increase, that your perspective, your vision is so much higher. Father God, help us to be faithful, to be obedient, to be present. Help us, Lord, to live your dream, Jesus.